Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
Oh, hello, welcome to another hour of Tech Talk with me, Stephen Scott. Good to have your company, as always. And with me for our conversation this week, we have Robin Christofferson from Ability.
I'm back. Sorry to everybody.
Right. Well, look, you don't need to apologise quite so soon. I appreciate the effort, though. No, listen, we had a good couple of shows past couple because we obviously had David on and we had a good chance to catch up with him. Lots of people getting in touch, Robin, to ask how David's getting on in relation to the horrific series of fires and bushfires that have been going on across Australia. You know, we can tell you that David is very safe at the moment, at least, and thankfully they are starting to get some rain now. But, of course, that's turning to flooding. I mean, it's, you know...
And hailstones the size of cricket balls. So, you know, he might be fine now, but, yeah, we'll keep you posted.
Kicked with one leg and then kicked with the other. It's really horrific what's going on over there at the moment. But, no, David is well. So thank you to everyone who got in touch. Listen, just to say as well, Andy's back with us for the first time this year. Hi, Andy.
Hello. Hello to you both.
Hey, Andy. Hello.
Yeah, he's here. And you've got emails later. Looking forward to them.
Emails and a little Ask TikTok as well.
Yes, we're bringing back Ask TikTok for 2020. It's so important that you get the chance to have your say and your questions answered here. So we're giving you the chance to ask Tech Talk, as well as, of course, giving you comments on the email techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Coming up, we have got lots to talk about. FlickType, a popular app that a lot of blind people use, Robin, because it's a really good keyboard for your smartphone. And this is a software keyboard. It's not a physical keyboard, but this is a software keyboard that you can have. And it was for a while a subscription-only option, which a lot of people weren't happy about, me included, because it meant having to pay for things. I don't agree with these subscription models, but we're going to talk about it later because they've had a bit of a change of heart, and it may not be because of the users. Let's just put it that way. So we've got that coming up for you. We have got the emails and Ask Tech Talk, but we want to kick off things with, I talk about CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, which took place in Las Vegas recently. And I was fortunate enough to get along there and spend some time at CES. You know, all for work, Robin, obviously.
A big jolly.
Yeah, it was a bit. An incredible event to go to. I mean, if you're into technology and you're interested in knowing what is coming up in 2020, what the tech we are going to be talking about this year, well, you've got to go to CES. And I just want to pick out a few highlights, some personal highlights for me, then we'll maybe have a coffee later, Robin, if you fancy that. Do you fancy a coffee later?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
I'm gasping.
Well, we're going to talk about making coffee. And actually, that's one of the things that came up a lot in the CES exhibition. And I mean, I say one exhibition. I mean, there was like four hotel ballrooms full of tech. It was an absolute joy to be at. Loads and loads of coffee machines, Robin, I'll tell you that. And lots of autonomous cooking machines, coffee machines, smart. A lady in everything as well. I mean, you know, it was incredible the amount of...
Of course.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, it makes sense. But, I mean, even inside cars, there was one car there called the Rivian. And it was a company that had essentially developed this vehicle in association with Amazon. Amazon had put a lot of money into the product. And the car has got Lady A in it. Now, that seems good, and it is good, don't get me wrong, it's brilliant, but you can buy, at least in the States, I don't know if it's here yet, Robin, I don't think I've seen this here, the Echo Auto, which is a little device that pairs up with your Bluetooth in your car, so you can have Lady A in the car if you really want. So, you know, yes, it's impressive it's in a car, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a million miles away from just the standard way of connecting a Bluetooth device to a car that has Bluetooth. So I'm not too excited about it coming over here. But yeah, don't forget, guys, you can buy little dongles if you haven't got a car that has Bluetooth connectivity that just go into the input jack, the audio jack of your stereo, and that then connect via Bluetooth. So yeah, there's some quick ways to make your cars Alexify.
You said the word. I can't believe you said the word. That's it.
Haven't triggered her.
You have.
Right,
you haven't triggered yours, but you've triggered someone's. That alarm says you have.
Fake news.
Well, you know, the thing is that, you know, Lady A is in everything, and at CES that was very much the case. And everything, I mean, from fridges to cars to air fresheners. I mean, this was the one that surprised me. There was a little air purifier. You know these ones you get, you put the sort of can of, I don't know what the official term is, squishy stuff. Is the word I would use.
You know, little cartridge.
Yeah, yeah, you know the one I'm talking about. The one that goes, shh, you know what I'm talking about. So you get the little thing, and it maybe every 5 minutes or so, it goes, shh, and it fires out a nice, beautiful smell. The problem is, of course, that those run out. That's the problem. And what Amazon have done is they've developed this system where it's incredible when you think about it. The product knows when it's running out. So therefore, it is able to contact Amazon, because it's a connected, you know, air purifying system. It will actually tell Amazon, right, you know what, you need to buy a new one of these. And it just sends it out to you, just charges it to you, sends it out. And we're seeing more of that through the Amazon Dash products, which I've got to say, I haven't heard many people talk about here. It's a big thing in the States at the moment, and something which I think will probably over time become part of our lives. I think for us it's quite good as well. Just because, you know, if the milk's running out or the bread's running low or whatever it is, you can buy devices that will help, you know, sort of reorder those for you. So you'll never run out of bread,
these Dash
milk.
Buttons, I'm not sure if you can. I mean, you can obviously buy them over there and ship them over here, but yeah.
You can buy them here as well. You can buy them here. They're on. You can buy them from the Amazon store.
Yeah, and you program it for a particular product and you stick it on the cabinet next to that product where it usually sits, and when it runs out, you just press the button.
But the thing is, with these, this is a new range of products they're bringing out. They're bringing out things like smart shelves. So you have a shelf, and what you do is you put, say, your cornflakes on there, right? And you've got the cornflakes on, it's running out, and it knows because of the weight of the box. Oh, right, they've run out, so we'll need to order more. And it does it, obviously, as the product is running out rather than ran out, which is important. So you have your endless supply of cornflakes available to you. I mean, it was ridiculous. And, you know, that's the thing. So, I mean, you know, there's obviously a lot of kind of goofy applications to that. But, you know, it's also good if you've got people in the home, you know, a big family, for example, you know, just constantly going through stuff. You know, if you can save time and effort, then that helps. You know, so it's all about making your lives easier. So that was the purpose of all of that. So, A-Lady, if that's your thing.
It sounds about as interesting or about as useful as that toilet roll robot that brings you a thing. Toilet roll.
So Charmin
got the most coverage because it was by the door.
That's
and all
right.
The news outlets wanted to video that one because it was the first one they saw. So yeah, lots of really, really useful things. But anything that can have the A-Lady built in, I'm for it.
Yeah,
definitely. It's
absolutely
not daft in my book.
Now, there were some other things, and in particular related to accessibility that I wanted to bring up. Orcam, for one, developed a couple of new products that they wanted to showcase. Now, Orcam is known best in the UK for their MyEye2 product, and that is the little camera that attaches to your glasses, and it can use the camera to read menus or magazines or whatever you want it to read. You just point to the item, and it will use its intelligence to read back to you what you're seeing. So it's great for someone with low vision or no vision at all. And that was always a very popular product, at least in conversation. It's a very expensive product. That's the only issue with it. And there was a lot of talk about that at CES. But they introduced some new products, including a new device for people with hearing problems called the Orcam Hear. And the idea is they use the example of the cocktail party. Now, I don't know about you, Robin. I have this problem anyway. Whenever you go to a gathering with more than 6 or 7 people in it, especially in a crowded place, trying to identify who's talking to you and what they're saying is a challenge. And
absolutely,
this is something which Orcam have picked up on for those who have hearing aids. So this is not for everybody. This is for people who wear hearing aids who need that assistance. Because what the Orcam Hear does is it connects to those hearing aids, and it's got a little camera on the front of it, and it's actually able to, what they say is it can read people's lips. But I don't think it's actually reading what they're saying. I think what it's doing is it's you're essentially showing the camera who you want to hear from. So if you were sitting across the table and I only wanted to hear from you, you were talking to me, I could sort of point this little thing at you. And what it does is it isolates all the other sound in the room. Now, I got a chance to try this. And it is, if it's as good as the demo suggests, it is incredible. I mean, incredible. You know, being able to just silence out, zone out. Anyone who's tried noise-cancelling headphones, for example, will know how well it can just thump the sound, completely kills all the background noise, and you can only hear what the focus of what you want to hear is. Well, that's what the Orcam here does, and it really sounds like a great device. So, yeah, I think that's great. They also brought out the Orcam Reed, which is a slightly bigger version of the MyEye 2. But I've got to say, Robin, for me, and I want to put this to you, because I'm interested in your thoughts on this. So they've got some new features for the MyEye 2, and I have to say, this was the bit that really surprised me and the bit I was most interested in, because I love new features, especially if you've bought something. If you've bought an Orcam out there and you're sitting there thinking, oh, I like it, but, you know, it'd be nice if it could do more. Well, the good news is it will this year. We'll actually be able to do a lot more. One of those two things that stood out, but one in particular, was interactive reading mode. Now, have you heard about this?
Yep.
So the idea is that you can hold up, say, a menu. It's a good example. If you hold up a menu in front of you, and the menu has on there, let's say it's a single page, and it's got starters, mains, and desserts, right? It's one of those menus that you get on the card that tells you everything. Well, you might just want to know what's in the starters, or you might just want to know what the mains are, right? Or in my case, I'd want to know what the desserts are. So you hold your finger up to the piece of paper, and it'll scan it, and you say, enter interactive reading mode, something like that anyway. There's commands you need to say, but it's like enter interactive reading mode. It will scan the document, and then it won't say any more than that. Normally, if you did that, if you just pointed to the document, it would just start reading it from the top left to the bottom right. But instead, it kind of sits silent, and then you can say, find mains or find desserts. And then it will actually just start reading from that position on the page.
I think it's a really good combination of language recognition, a basic kind of search for a string command, and then it, you know, the nice text to speech that it has starting to read from there, and then stopping when it gets to the next, you know, when it detects with its intelligence that it's kind of finished reading that list of items, it won't then go on to, you know, liqueurs or something. So yeah, I think that's a really good use of the AI that's built into it, and it's all done on device, no internet connection required.
But it gets better than that, Robin, because the next feature is all about orientation and mobility. Now, you and I both know what we call the 10-yard problem, the last 10-yard problem. Every blind person who's listening to this will know all about that feeling. You know, you can use your GPS to get to a location, say the bank or a hotel or wherever it is you're going, but finding the front door can actually be one of the biggest challenges, right? So what you can do with the Orcam now is you can actually scan around and you can ask the Orcam device to find, say, a door or, you know, tell me what's around. And it will actually scan what's in front of you and it can identify things like doors. Mm. Now, that's great. But again, the next problem is, well, how do you find the door? Okay, so Orcam's found it. It knows where it is, but where is it? Well, you have to use another command, which essentially lets you put your hand out. So you put your hand out in front of you, and through a series of beeps, almost like hot and cold, it will guide your hand to where the door is, or at least near to it. And then in theory, once the line goes solid, you're at the door. So you get the beep, 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 and obviously if you're cold, it'll beep, 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 you know,
and then
it goes,
and then you defuse the bomb.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Like it. I mean, I think this is brilliant. I would be interested to know how quickly it kills the battery of this standalone device. The reason why I ask that is because a really hot piece of news this week is that Apple have acquired a company called Xnor.ai, X-N-O-R.ai. And the demo that they showed that convinced the Apple executives to buy them was in the chap's office. He picked up his phone, he pointed it out the window, and after first putting it in airplane mode, and it instantly highlighted 25 separate objects that it had detected out of the window. It put a rectangle around each one, and it said that the chap said that, you know, it can do up to 50 objects in one go. It can track them all independently. It's all offline, and it doesn't seriously impact the battery. We've all known when we've used Seeing AI, for example, that phone runs hot, mm-hmm. and you know, it's very computationally expensive to do that, and it really does kill the battery. So I hope that with the Orcam, this brilliant new development won't mean that you'll only get half an hour's battery life, but we're definitely kind of, we've crossed a line, I think, into AI on the edge that doesn't need connectivity, that is going to be super efficient. And once you combine it with that kind of Star Trek tricorder type functionality as well to help you get to the place that you're heading for, I think that's absolutely brilliant.
I think you're right. I think that what also is the reality is that if it's true that Apple bring out their glasses this year, and I did ask Orcam about this. I said, if Apple bring out glasses next year, or this year in 2020, what happens to Orcam? Because arguably, you could do all this using an app. There could be an Orcam app, for example. And they kind of weren't too keen to say much on it. But, you know, I think the reality is we all know that these kind of devices, these kind of very expensive specialist devices, wouldn't last long in that world. Now, is that a bad thing or a good thing? Well, it's obviously not great for Orcam, but at the same token, it's good news for us as blind people because the cost of the equipment is going to be so much lower. Although in saying that, it is Apple and there will be something new, so it'll probably cost a few grand in the initial. But the point is that, you know, this is moving along at a pace, and what we're seeing with Orcam, I mean, take all the Apple stuff away and the potential and what might happen, this shows you where we're going. And we're not, this isn't too far down the line. This is an update away. So yeah. This is here. This kind of tech is already here.
And crucially, there's no smartphone required. So for people exactly. that are afraid of going down the smartphone route and they want a standalone thing that does everything they need to do and they've got the budget for it, fab.
Well, that's what Orcam's great for. You're right. You don't need a smartphone. You can connect it to a smartphone. You can muck around with some of the features as well. There is an Orcam app that goes along with it. But you don't need that. You can run it entirely independently and offline as well. So it doesn't cost you any money to use it. So, you know, lots of benefits to it. But of course, those benefits come at a price. But with the development, I can totally understand why someone would make the purchase and why you'd want to support that. So, yeah, CES was full of that kind of tech. Vespero, the company that owns JAWS and runs JAWS, they were there, and they were showcasing JAWS Kiosk, which is something we heard about last year. This is a piece of software which can be added on to, any kiosk system. Now, if you've been to a fast food restaurant in this country, especially recently, you might have encountered touchscreen kiosks that make you, give you an option to buy your food from there rather than going up to the counter. Now, I don't know about you, Robin. There's no option for me at the moment. I've got to go to the counter.
Yeah.
But I kind of like the idea of using these because then I can get a better idea of what's actually on the menu. One thing I don't know at a lot of these fast food restaurants is what's actually on the menu unless someone tells me. I can't just scan the menu. With this, I'd be able to because all you do is a bit like the talking ATMs we're used to here in the UK. You just take your earphones, you plug them in. There's a physical navigation button sequence that you use, and of course that familiar JAWS Eloquence voice as well. And you can scan through, go through, and select and choose and buy whatever products it is you want to buy. If it's fast food, or perhaps it's an airport check-in. Or perhaps it's at your doctor's office. You know, all these things are potentially made more accessible thanks to this software. I've got to say, though, it seems bad that Vespero have to do this. I'm all for it. I think it's brilliant. I'm not criticising it at all. But I think it's crazy that Vespero have to do this, considering that it wouldn't take much to put some kind of speech into these devices. And again, I think, Robin, it highlights the bigger problem that we have as blind people, and that we're just not recognised enough. We're not seen as consumers in the way that perhaps we'd like to be. And I know you are very positive about all of this, but I don't know. I mean, we're in 2020, and, you know, these devices are just not even, there's no consideration for any of us. And not just us, by the way. Some of these kiosks, especially in these fast food restaurants, are so high, so tall, that someone in a wheelchair couldn't use them either.
Yeah, or someone of short stature.
That's right.
Absolutely. I mean, buying a ticket with those ticket machines, ATMs that haven't got that speech out, but there are so many ones that are kind of function critical. Obviously, fast food falls into that category too.
That's right.
You know, really crucial for daily living. There are ways of doing it as well. And I have mentioned in the past that I think that choice is a really good thing. And for people that have got a smartphone and are very used to that interface, it would be great if when you walk up to a public kiosk of any kind, there would be an instant handshake, and then you could use your phone as the IO device, the input output device, without, you know, having to find even the headphone jack to plug it in or to learn a new UI. But yeah, I'd be interested with this JAWS kiosk one, because obviously it's going to be running a flavor of Windows, in which case, if it's any, you know, relatively new version of Windows, then one would have thought that the built-in narrator functionality could do the job of reading down through the menus and different items and stuff as well. Maybe they're using the scripting powers of JAWS to make it an even better experience to, you know, chain together.
Yeah, well, these aren't custom. So, you know, these aren't, this isn't just, you know, we've stuck JAWS on a computer and it's figuring it out. This has been scripted for the individual program that is running the kiosk, you know, itself. So, yeah.
Consultancy each time to make it a really good experience, yeah.
So, yeah, lots of stuff like that at CES. It was a really interesting event. I was glad to be there. And, you know, I'm sure there's plenty more we're going to be talking about. I mean, we haven't even touched on autonomous vehicles. I mean, there's so many of those on show, concept cars. One thing I will say, though, just briefly on that, that sticks out from me was the LG ThinQ car, which was a concept car. It was a bit like a taxi design. Essentially, that's what it was. But it didn't even have a window in it. I mean, it had screens instead that could show you the outside if you wanted to. You could ask the internal computer to, you know, show you the outside. But actually, it was more for about relaxing and entertainment in your vehicle. So it was almost like taking your living room on the road with you, or the taxi or the vehicle was an extension of that lifestyle. So you can sort of see that that's where it's heading, or that's where the concepts are going. But what's brilliant about that for us is that means then there's no driving seat, there's no steering wheel, so there's no expectation that we would have to have someone in the vehicle who is capable of taking control. But again, that's not down to the manufacturers of these vehicles, that's down to the regulators. So that's something we need to sort of keep the pressure on with. But it does sound like in the UK we're heading that direction. I don't know if you know any more on that, Robin.
Well, certainly all the legislation around autonomous vehicles is that there is going to be no requirement or responsibility on the part of the passenger to do anything. So, yeah,
that works for us.
I'm very much encouraged that, I mean, I've always seen it as a vision of, like, there's going to be a really varied fleet of vehicles on our roads in the future. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to have a lift with anyone else, if you specify that it's just going to be you, thank you very much. And
I don't want anyone in mine. I don't want anyone in mine. I want mine to myself.
You'll just get a little pod, or maybe you'll get a massive one with a 55-inch screen if that, you know, floats your boat. But
sound system built in, that would be incredible. I don't care about the TV, but I'd love the Sonos sound system.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, you could have such an immersive experience, and they were showing 8K screens there, micro OLED screens that are, you can't distinguish them from real life. And so you could imagine having a really immersive visual and audio experience. And by the time you stepped out, you're like blinking in the sunshine and thinking, I was in the Matrix for a while there. I'd forgotten that this is actually the real life out here, you know? So yeah, who knows what kind of experiences you'll have. But yeah, I think that people with disabilities will be well catered for he's touching wood saying that, but I think that will be the case.
Me too. Well, CES, incredible event, and will I go next year? I hope so. My views on whether or not it's a great experience for a blind person is another story. I'll tell you that one another time. But anyway, let's carry on, because, you know, I'm getting a bit parched talking away here, and I could, you know, do with a little cup of coffee.
Well, I mean, I recorded what I think is by far the best solution. You guys can make up your own mind, when I was in my kitchen earlier. But here in Tech Talk Towers, Stephen hasn't done his homework yet. So I'm going to have to send you off to the kitchen to make your cup of coffee now. So go on, off you go.
Okay, all right. Well, I can do that. What I'll do then is I'll just grab this handheld microphone here, and we'll head into the kitchen. So, right. Let me just get up here. Hang on, find my cane, because we don't want any nasty accidents. Okay, so I've actually got my coffee cup here, which is kind of handy. So I've got my coffee cup, and I've got some pods in there. I'll explain more about them in a second. Hang on till I get myself out of here. So we've got double doors into this studio. So through the first one, out to the second one, and we'll just go down the corridor here, just outside the main studio. And thankfully, the kitchen is only a short walk away, which is good news for me. So here we go, just into the kitchen here on the left. I'll put the light on just to have a laugh. And okay, so I'm just gonna put my cane over here, so it's out of the way. And what I've got here is I've got my cup. And I'll bang the cup against something so you know it exists. There you go, that's the cup. And what I've got inside the cup are two little pods, right? I actually brought these in earlier because I was going to make a coffee after the show. So this is ideal. So what I've got in front of me here is a Bosch Tassimo coffee maker. And the purpose of the Bosch Tassimo coffee maker is to make coffee, right? But it actually makes other hot drinks as well. It'll make tea, it'll make hot chocolate as well, which is why I really like it. It's so simple to use, even I can use it. Quite a small device as well. It's not a very big, I mean, I'd say it's just larger than a standard kettle. There's two buttons on it. One is on the far right-hand side, the bottom right-hand side, actually, I should say, and it's just a little switch that turns it on. There's a very clear bump at the back of the button, which indicates the on position. So if you push it in, you know it's on, and that's great. There are lights that flash away on the outside, which means nothing to me, really. That might be an issue going forward, but we'll talk about that in a minute. There is a little compartment at the side, which has got the water in it, and you just pull that out. You just slide this little compartment out, and you fill it with water. Someone's already very kindly done that. What I've done is I've put a bump on the inside of the container tank, so I know how far up to fill the water. I had to get some sighted assistance for that, but that's okay. So, okay, put it back in, just make sure it's in. At the top front of the device, there's a little thing you pull up. So what you do is you pull up this little handle, and, oh, that's nice, someone's left a pod in there already. Disgusting! So you've got a little kind of tray, which has got lots of bumps around it, and it moves around a bit, so you know that's where it is. And there's a little opening at the front of it, and what that opening tells you is where the edge of the pod goes. And this is what's great about these pods. So if you've ever thought about getting one of these and you're thinking, well, how would I know how to put the pod in? How would I know what way to put it in? You know, how would I know about, you know, the pods themselves? Well, let me talk you through it. So the pod itself is very small. It would fit in the palm of your hand. It's got a little lip at the end, which indicates the edge, almost like, you know, those little cartons of milk you used to get. If you ever go to a cafe, you get those little cartons, those little tiny cartons of milk, which there's never enough of, frankly. I need about 12 of them just for one cup of tea. But what's good about it is it does have a little lip at the end that lets you know where to peel back the paper. Well, it's a bit like that with these. But the difference is you don't peel anything back. You don't do anything with it. You leave it exactly as it is, which I do like. So I've got two pods here, interestingly, and I did this deliberately because I wanted to show you I like a latte, right? Latte is my thing. But the problem with the latte is you get two pods. How do you know which one is which? Well, it's all about using that hearing sense, isn't it? So I'm going to take the first pod. I don't know if you can hear that,
But that sounds like milk to me. That's clearly water or liquid in there, right? So that's the milk. The other one is lighter. And I don't know if you can hear it, but it's kind of powdery. Hear that? So that's telling me that must be the espresso for the latte, right? So that's it. So that's how I know the difference. You can, if you want, spend time, you know, putting bump-ons on the boxes that they come in and all of that. But truth be told, I just use my ears. And I've also got some handy little sugar cubes. Yes, it was an R&IB top tip. Don't use sugar, use sugar cubes. That's a really clever idea. So what you've got here is a little tray where you clearly have to put your cup, and it's kind of inverted slightly so you know where to actually sit the cup in order for the, where, you know, whether it's going to be pouring in. So you don't have to worry about it, you know, going into the wrong part or missing the cup entirely. It's always going to be in the right place. So I'm going to take the first one, which is the latte. You always put that in first. Why? I don't know, but that's what you do, apparently. So someone else told me that. So I'm going to put the pod in, and I'm going to do it upside down. So think again of those little milk cartons I was telling you about. I'm going to turn it upside down. The lip is going to be at the front, almost to the right a little bit, but it actually just slots right in. If you have a listen. So I'm putting it in. And you hear how that kind of clicks into place there? And then what you do is you just take the handle above it and just push it down. And that's it. And it kind of pierces a hole in the underside of the pod, which then allows it to work. And actually how it knows it's a latte and how it knows how to calculate the water flow and all that is because of a little barcode that's actually on the pod itself. It's very clever. Now, to that button, which is on the front right-hand panel, seems to be the same on all these Tassimo machines, and you just push it once, and you hear it working. So it takes a couple of seconds to get going. You hear it building up, and you hear the dribbling of water, or milk in this case. There we go. And we're off. That sounds nice. Okay, so what's great as well is I don't have to worry about overfilling. I don't have to worry about milk everywhere, because it's going to stop when it's done, when it knows. And I'm just using a standard size mug here, nothing fancy. Got this for Secret Santa at Christmas, actually, from one of my awesome colleagues. So the milk's just going in, it's frothing the milk up. It's doing exactly as you would get from a barista inside one of these fancy places. And then at the end, you're going to get a big plume of smoke coming out, which is good. It's good smoke. So any second you'll hear it. That's the froth coming. There we go. Very warm to the touch as well, but the cup is actually okay. Now, what you've got to do is you've got to wait for the light to stop flashing before you can lift up the lid. Of course, the problem is we don't know when the light stopped flashing. So I just kind of go and assume it has. So I don't know if you're supposed to do that, but it's never caused me any problems. So again, just lift up the little handle here at the top front of the device. The pods are very warm once they're finished. That's the only thing I would say. Try and grab the end, put it down quickly. Otherwise, you'll find that you've got a problem. It's quite warm. So I'm going to put the second one in now. You're getting the idea. There you are. Hear that click, that satisfying click of it in position. It's upside down. I'm going to shut the handle and hit the button at the side. And it's going to do it again. So there's no separate procedure here. There's nothing else you've got to do. It's really, really simple. It's the same process for every single pod that you use. And like I say, you can get coffee. You can get and all kinds of very nice coffees as well. Lattes, espressos. Whatever you want, really. Whatever you're into. And on top of that, of course, you get tea, English breakfast, Earl Grey, all that stuff, and hot chocolate as well. All you've got in here, essentially, is water. You add the pod, and you get your drink. And that's all you need to know, really. Standard size mugs for most of it. If there are larger mugs required, it does often tell you in the packaging. Again, I would check with people before you make any purchases. But to be honest, the standard mug you get out of a pound shop or out of a supermarket does the job fine. And that's it. My coffee is made. Let me find my little cubes again. I do like a bit of sugar in my latte. I know I shouldn't, but I do. Smells lovely, freshly brewed, and I can just, what I can love is I can just take the cup off the Tassimo, put it onto the table, plonk in my sugar cubes, I'll give it a good stir and enjoy my coffee. So there you go, that's how the Bosch Tassimo system works. Robin, you're in your kitchen, how are you getting on? Think you can do better than that?
Well, I think I can do a lot better than that, Stephen, with my AeroBee, i.e. the people that make the Frisbees, AeroPress. And that's spelled A-E-R-O-B-I-E, A-E-R-O-P-R-E-S-S, AeroPress. AeroBee make a brilliant thing. It looks like a big syringe, maybe 10 inches high, and it's got a big plunger with a rubber end. This is the syringe, and it's maybe about 2.5 inches across. And you literally just chuck some coffee in there and plunge it down. Now, they say that coffee, ground coffee, which you should keep in the fridge, guys, to keep it as fresh as possible, is best when the hot water is in contact with the coffee for as little time as possible and it's put under a lot of pressure. So the longer it sits in a filter machine, for example, the more stewed and less fresh it will taste. Now, obviously, Stephen's Tassimo is great because it just pushes the coffee through, but it's expensive. Those pods, you know, that's all going to add up. But with this, when you buy it, and it's about £25 from Amazon, as well as the plunger, you get tiny little round filter papers that go in the bottom. We'll do that in a second, and you get 400 of those, and that will last a very long time, but you can buy refills as well. They're really, really cheap. Now, I've poured water into the kettle by filling the cup that I want to use right to the top. And the reason why I've done it right to the top is because you'll lose a bit of the water left in the grounds. We'll look at that in a moment. I'm going to switch the kettle on. And as that starts to boil, I'm going to unscrew the bottom of the AeroPress. And the bottom is a little round thing with some holes in where the coffee will get pushed through. I'm putting the little round paper filter on there. And I'm going to screw it back up. So now the bottom of the plunger has the filter in it. And I'm going to use the scoop that comes with the AeroPress, which is about on the end of a stick. It's like a egg cup size of scoop. And that you chuck in the bottom of the syringe, which I've done. And all I need to do now is wait for the kettle to finish boiling and then put it over my cup. Got my cup. Putting the filter on top, the big plunger. Now, you can run the rubber end of this plunger under the tap if you want to help it go down smoothly. So I'm going to quickly do that. Okay, I've done that, coming back over here. Now the water needs to be really freshly boiled. At the bottom of the plunger, there is a big flange that stops it falling into the cup. So it's resting on top of the cup now. Okay then, gonna pour the water in, guys, all of the water. Done that. You can hear it start to dribble through. Gonna put the plunger in and I'm gonna push. Oh, it goes down. It's sitting on top of the cup. It's being forced into the cup. Oh, pushing, pushing, pushing. Okay, pushed it right down to the bottom. Brilliant. Now I've got a nice, fresh cup of coffee. Now I'm going to add a tiny bit of milk because the water is so hot, much hotter than it would be with a filter machine. I can put cold milk in. Don't know if you heard that going in. I've just put a drop of milk. Now let's give it a go. That tastes so good, so much fresher than your average filter coffee. Probably just as tasty as Stephen's Tassimo, but maybe at a fraction of the price going forward. Now, one last thing I want to cover is how you wash it. And this is the really fun part. Let's go over to the sink. Next to the sink here, if I pull out, this is where we keep our compost, and I've lifted the lid on our compost bin, and now all I need to do is unscrew that little end with all the holes in. Put that down. And now I've got the filter paper exposed and a big puck of coffee, compressed coffee behind it. And now I'm going to push the plunger for the last inch. Ready? That pushed the coffee out into the compost. How cool is that? Now I can just quickly wash up my Aerobee AeroPress. Inexpensive, fun, and tasty. Now, where's Judith hidden those mince pies?
Get out of that cupboard. Get back in here, Robin. Mince pies.
Okay, I'm back. Now, what I want to know, Stephen, is at the end of your coffee-making extravaganza, did you actually take the dead pod out of the machine, or did you leave it for the next person?
I can't remember. That's terrible, isn't it? I can't remember. I was complaining so much as well about the other person doing it. And there I think I may have just done exactly the same thing. Shame on me. But listen, can I just quickly say, Tassimo, I didn't spell it out. It's T-A-S-S-I-M-O. And it's made by a company called Bosch, which you've probably heard of. And yeah, well worth a look. Yours sounds okay.
I'm just finishing a mince pie. So what was the price? What's the price of pods going forward?
Price of pods? Well, you're talking about, I mean, anything between, what, 5 and 8 quid. It depends on what you're buying. It depends on the, because obviously tea tends to be a bit less expensive than the coffee pods. In terms of the machine prices, you can get deals on them were like 40 quid over Christmas time, but they can go way up to 199 quid depending on the type of machine. There's lots of different types of machines, but they all work in exactly the same way as the one I described. The one I had, I think, was the Happy, but the one I've got, I've also got at home, because that was the one in the Tech Talk kitchen, but at home I've got the Caddy, which has got a larger water container. I can't remember how much it takes, but it takes a lot more, and you can get maybe like 3 or 4 coffees out of that before you have to refill, whereas the Happy, you're kind of doing it every, you know, 2 to 3. But if that bothers you, you know, if you know, if money's the thing, if you're trying to save money, then you know, just go for the cheapest one, because they're all the same, really. They don't do much different. It's
and
the
how many
themselves.
Pods per box?
So you'll get, I think it's about 16 pods if it's tea. You get maybe half that, so 8 coffees. So I mean, you're comparing that to, say, a Starbucks or a Costa every day, you're going to save money.
Oh, yeah.
Without a shadow of a doubt. So it is worth considering, but the key thing is, for us, you're using a very easy-to-use machine. You don't have to worry too much about the maintenance of it. You do occasionally have to run a filtration through it. You know, you've got a little pod that's actually built into the unit you can take out, and you can descale the whole unit and do all that. But that's a fairly easy process, because all you do is put the pod in, fill the water tank, and then all you do is just keep, you know, emptying the cup and, you know, let it do its thing. So it doesn't even require much work at all. In saying that, I've never done it because I'm very lazy, but I know it's quite easy to do. So, you know, it's a good system. It's a really nice system. Are you thinking of buying one, Robin? I'm getting the impression you're keen on this.
I don't know. The Aerobee ticks my boxes at the moment, but who knows? Maybe. I mean, latte, really, and really frothy drinks. We have a separate milk frother, so which we could talk about at another time. But yeah, I mean, it's just so easy, isn't it?
Yeah, you get your butler to do it at home, haven't you? In that castle of yours. Yeah, I know how it works. Right, listen, let's bring Andy in, because I know Andy's a coffee fan as well.
Did anyone get me a coffee?
Oddly enough, no, we didn't. No, we were too busy making them for ourselves. It's a hard life, really, isn't it?
Sad face.
live emojis, I love it. Yep. Right, let's get to Ask Tech Talk, because what we want to do is get you to ask us questions. Not you, Andy, but our listener.
Yes.
To ask questions to us. So perhaps there might be an issue that you maybe have with technology, or you've just got a general question about tech that you'd like answered. No question is too silly. We love getting them. You can email them in to techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Or you'll find us on Twitter @RNIB Radio. What's today's question?
Yes, you'll need to use the hashtag AskTikTok as well. Remember to do that.
Oh, well, yes,
yeah,
do that as well.
We can pick them up, yes.
Yeah.
This first one is, this one's from Keith. He says, it's time to replace our washing machine.
Oh,
I noticed that these days some of the washing machines are driven by an app on the phone, and I would like to know whether these apps are accessible using VoiceOver. we will be requiring a small washing machine, 6 kilograms. So if anybody has a washing machine of this size and type, could they let us have the information on what model and make this washing machine is? We would appreciate any information. Again, that's from Keith.
Okay, well, thank you for that, Keith. Now, I could sit here and I could try and explain to you all of the different ones that are out there. There are a few. Accessible is an interesting choice of words here, isn't it, Robin? Because accessible and washing machine, there are ways you can make your washing machine more accessible. And actually, that's thanks to smartphones and Lady A. The device themselves, the actual washing machine itself, or the dryer or the dishwasher or whatever, I don't think there are any out there at the minute, Robin, that have any form of speech in them that you would be able to use.
No, not that I'm aware of, but yeah, they are. There are some A-Lady compatible ones and probably Google Home as well. If it's a really budget one, do they still have the turny round knobs where you can put little bump-ons on? I don't know.
I think they're few and far between now. That's the problem. Very few and far between for those. But you can get ones which are made by Bosch, and I have heard a lot of good reports about Bosch washing machines and dryers. Their smart app lets you access all of the controls of the washing machine or dryer, and you're able to start the washing machine, all that, get full information about it, time left, you know, on the cycle, all of that stuff available through the app, and all of that is voiceover friendly and talkback friendly as well in Android. So that's good news, and Lady A, of course, can contribute to some of that as well. But what I would suggest to you is if you were to go to the following website, and it's www.ridc.org.uk. And the purpose of that website is to do exactly what you're asking, which is to research and spend time figuring out accessible devices for blind and partially sighted people. And they have a whole bit, a whole page on accessible washing machines for blind people. And it was only a couple of clicks or hits on the space bar to find it. So I would honestly suggest you try that out, ridc.org.uk. It's a fantastic resource. We've talked about it before here on RNIB Connect Radio, but I don't know if you're aware of it, Keith, so you know, do check it out.
And it stands for Ridiculously In-Depth Disability Checking. No, it doesn't.
No. but it pretty much is, because it's so good. It's a brilliant website, and I've used it myself when we were purchasing. So yeah, do check it out, ridc.org.uk. Hope that helps. And if you've got an Ask Tech Talk question, then do get in touch, and we'll do our best to answer it right here on Tech Talk. Tech Talk at rnib.org.uk or on Twitter at RNIB Radio. Use the hashtag Ask Tech Talk.
News from the internet.
So I want to mention one story this week, because I want to get to some emails with Andy, but before that, let's talk about one story in the news, and that's FlickType. I don't know if you are using it yourself, Robin. Have you tried this app?
I tried it afresh recently when this story broke. It used to be Flexi, guys, for people who remember that.
Yeah, that's right. Well, what's interesting about it is it had a subscription model, and then recently they dropped the subscription model in favour of a one-off payment. Now, they did this not because lots of blind and partially sighted people, like me, were jumping up and down saying, paying £1 a month for a keyboard. No, not because of that problem or argument, I guess, but actually because Apple themselves weren't too keen on the idea of a keyboard being a subscription model. This was something that Apple kept fighting back against, so for whatever reason. But either way, it's kind of worked in our favour, because now it is a cool $2.99 for the keyboard. You buy it, you pay one price, and that's it. So I think that's good news, Robin.
Yeah, now it used to be free. And part of the ire that was raised by disabled people was that, you know, it went from free to paid. If you haven't used it for a while and you have acquired it in the past, before it went subscription and now to a paid app, open it and you'll be surprised to see that it still works. So if you've passed all of that payment era by, then yeah, it'll still open and it'll still work fine and it'll be the latest version. So give it a go. I have this picture of Stephen jumping up and down every month, and I think that £1 is a good price to pay for a fitness app getting you fit, jumping up and down every month.
That's basically what it is. Yeah, it's just got me angry. It's stressed me out.
I should rebrand it.
Yeah, that's it. It's a flick type keyboard getting Stephen thin. Fantastic. Okay, well, look, that is our flick type story. I wanted to bring that to you, but for now though, I think it's time for these
email
We get email. We get your email every day.
First ones of 2020.
Here's your mail today.
Right, Andy, let's get into the emails then.
Oh, it's been a while since we've been here.
I know.
Yes, this one to start with is from Ian. He says, hello, Tech Talk team. Some time ago, you asked for listener stories about getting accessible in-home displays with their smart meters. Well, here's mine. It doesn't make for happy reading. Oh, dear. Back in spring of 2019, I changed my account to a new fixed-term contract. In order to do this, I had to agree to have a smart meter installed. I was assured that I would have accessible display installed. Imagine my surprise when the engineer who came to do the installation said that he had never heard of such a thing. I immediately phoned my supplier, Eon, he's not afraid to mention them, who said that they would be issued later in the year and that as a priority customer I would get one. Well, nothing happened between May and November. In November, I had to contact Eon as my wife was able to see that the meter wasn't sending data to the company. While bringing this to the attention of the company, I asked them about talking in-home displays. I was told that they were only given to customers who were having new installations. Needless to say, this was news to me, as it contradicted what Ian had previously told me. An engineer visit showed that the meter installation would have to be replaced. This being the case, I was assured that this time we would definitely be getting a talking display. You can imagine that I was not best pleased when the engineer told me that the company policy was to not install talking displays until next March. This came as a surprise not only to me, but also to Eon. I'm still waiting for a resolution to my complaint. I think there are two observations I would make from this. The first is that you could contact your energy supplier. It is very difficult to find someone who knows anything about talking displays. You also have to be very clear in making your request. Using a term like accessible display is not sufficient. You have to be talking about talking displays. My second observation is that it's all very well for RNIB to tell people to talk to their energy supplier about this. However, it may not be the supplier who installs the meter, as was the case for Ian. On my first installation, he says, the engineer had never heard of talking displays, and on the second, the engineer said it wasn't company policy to install them until March. That rather unhappy message has come from Ian.
Well, very interesting to read your email there, Ian, but unfortunately that seems to be the story from everybody, isn't it, Robin, that we're just hearing these constant stories.
The saga continues.
Yeah,
this is chapter 18.
Yeah, it just goes on and on and on. And nobody seems to be able to work this out. Nobody seems to be able to solve this problem, which is just nonsense. Okay, thank you for that email, Ian. Sorry you're still struggling with this. You can keep your emails coming in about smart home accessible displays or you know, what your experiences are. You can tell us those. Anyway, let's carry on with another email.
This is from friend of the show, Kelly. She says, hi, gang. Happy New Year to you, the guys. I hope David Woodbridge hasn't been affected by the bushfire in Australia too much. My thoughts go out to all those who are living out there. Stephen, you know when you mentioned that you want a speaker that you can take to the bathroom or anywhere? Well, I have found the perfect Bluetooth speaker which works for both Android and iOS. The speaker is called the Wonderboom and it is extremely accessible. If you have Lady A set up on your iPhone as well as VoiceOver, it works really well with it. It's roughly the size of a tennis ball and it is barrel shaped. For a small speaker, the sound quality is quite good. I paid £50 at John Lewis, which I think is a really good bargain. Doesn't take up any room and is very light indeed. I take it everywhere, on holiday, in the garden, you name it. I hope you like it. All the best from Kelly.
Oh, you send me one, Kelly. That's nice. That's
and we should confirm it's Wonder with an A, like you're wandering around with it.
Yeah,
W-A-N-D-E-R.
Right. Yeah, does sound good. I must say, I do like these Bluetooth speakers. I'm interested to know how that works with Lady A, though. How would that work? You speak to the Bluetooth speaker?
Yeah, any Bluetooth speaker or the Bose frames that we've got. We could talk about those another time.
We haven't talked about those yet.
You just press and hold the button, the play pause button. Just press and hold it, and then it invokes the whatever is your virtual assistant on your phone.
Yeah, but that would be Siri if it was the iPhone.
Yeah.
So how do you get Lady A to do it?
Oh, obviously I wasn't listening to you, Stephen. Okay, engage, brain. That would have to be a tie-in with Amazon, yeah.
Right, okay, interesting. Well, we'll see if Kelly comes back and explains more on that, because I'd like to know how the Bluetooth speaker and Lady A work together, because that's the whole point for me. Okay, right, we've got time for one more, just a brief one, if you can.
Sue has been in touch, saying, "Hi, everyone. Regarding Synaptic devices, you don't have to ask Synaptic to update your device. You can do it yourself. You can go to the settings menu and then find the check for updates option. Follow the instructions and it will tell you exactly what to do. However, if you are someone who is not too confident or worried about doing this, then Synaptic are always willing to update remotely for you. You only have to ask. Regards, Sue."
Well, thank you, Andy, for the emails this week. We've only got a few there, but we've got lots more to get through, so we will do that. We've also got another Ask Tech Talk next week. If you would like to contribute to our show, you're always welcome. You can email us, techtalk@rnib.org.uk. You can also get in touch with us on Twitter and on Facebook, at RNIB Radio on Twitter. Use the hashtag Ask Tech Talk if you've got a question, and you can find us and message us on Facebook as well. Now, next week, Robin, you've been a busy boy. I'm very impressed with you, because you've not just got one review for us next week, but two.
Couple of quick demos, yep. Tune in next week.
Yeah, well, I want to tell people what they are, because I want them to come back for this. Honestly, they're brilliant. We're going to be looking at Jaws 2020 next week and looking at some of the features that are in the new version. But scan mode is a new feature of Jaws 2020. You're going to be demoing that for us. Looking forward to that. And something which one of our listeners, Greg from Pennsylvania, got in touch with us about. He was telling us all about, I thought it was a website. But it turns out to be an application which lets you download YouTube videos in either video or audio. If, for example, you wanted to keep a particular YouTube video, and sometimes getting that content can be challenging. Now, we've got to get the name right on this one, because we've got some
Ponties,
not Ponce. Yeah, not Ponce.
Not this again.
Oh yes, I have to say, we had so much fun with this on the last episode. Bullied.
No, but I mean, okay, guys, P-O-N-T-E-S, right. that's the spelling. Let the listeners decide.
Exactly. Let the listeners decide on this one. I mean, honestly, I've got no idea how you're supposed to say it, but it does seem rather good. And what I like as well is, Robin, you've learned that it is available on multiple platforms, which is something we didn't know either.
It's everywhere.
Yeah, it is. So, yeah, looking forward to finding out all about that. So, yeah, that's all on next week's Tech Talk. Tune in, join the conversation. As we were saying, email, tweet, and send us a message on Facebook as well. We'll catch you next time for another Tech Talk. Thanks, Robin. Thanks, Andy.
Thanks guys.